is the biggest manifestation and crispest utility function of that new technology.
Starting in Africa, trying to solve problems has actually now turned out to be one of our greatest advantages. Out of our 40,000 cars across 29 cities.
Partnerships is something that did captivate our attention throughout our five-year journey with you.
Autonomous vehicles is by far the first and largest physical manifestation of artificial intelligence. Every single thing that moves today in the future will move autonomous. The ability to have individuals that can face the challenges, think through the challenges, offer solutions quickly, effectively, and in a collaborative manner, having the faith to overcome those challenges and don't let the fear stop you from even thinking through how to overcome them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here live in Riyadh. Glad to have you here, Ladi. Well, for the benefit of our audience here today, I think it'll be good for you to start by talking about how you've changed in this journey. We've met you as Silverback 5 years ago, where in your mobility business, you were moving people, and these were man cars. Mm. Today, you're the one moving Waymo to London, to Miami's, and other cities. And when you discuss autonomous car, it's actually AI. It's the biggest manifestation and crispest utility function of that new technology. Why don't you start telling us about this new life of yours?
No, great. Firstly, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and morning, everyone. It's an interesting journey that we're still on. We founded the business 6 years ago in Nigeria on a rainy day with 76 cars, and now we've scaled that business to what is the largest rideshare fleet in the world at about 40,000 cars across 29 cities. And it's interesting because when you start to think about the impetus as to why we started to scale, it was because of some of the challenges we found in the African context. We started the business in 2019. At that time, our currency was something like 165 to 1. Needless to say, our currency today is 1,500 to 1 or 1,400 to 1. And one of the things we knew very clearly is we needed to diversify to many different markets to ensure that we weren't too focused or too concentrated on a single market. And that ultimately started to build our DNA to open new markets, to learn how to scale, to learn and build that muscle to scale the business at pace. Needless to say, in scaling the business, we then started to learn how to operate in new countries, how to identify new opportunities, how to solve new problems. And today, where that's landed is not only do we have a man business, which is heavily focused on empowering and creating a path to profitability and prosperity for our drivers, but now we've found a brand new opportunity at the forefront of autonomous vehicles, which is the infrastructure layer required to scale autonomous vehicles. So ultimately, starting in Africa, trying to solve problems has actually now turned out to be one of our greatest advantages, being able to scale our business into new markets and new industries.
And in terms of that scaling, you found yourself starting within underserved market. But today you're headquartered in Dubai, backed by Mubadala. And obviously, the biggest arrival of all is the transition of Uber from your P&L side to your balance sheet side.
Correct.
Clearly, partnerships is something that did captivate our attention throughout our five-year journey with you, seeing the quality of arrival both on the P&L side and on the balance sheet side. I think it'd be good to double click on that. And how does the internal culture you've been building really make sure to capture the best possible partner for the scaling exercise you're doing?
Sure. I mean, the same institutional voids I spoke to that created opportunities for us to build that muscle to scale have also kind of created the opportunities for us to find new partners. So the first part of that question is, we moved here to the GCC region. We formed a partnership with the UAE. If it wasn't for the UAE, we wouldn't have been able to scale to the degree that we've been able to scale. I mentioned to somebody earlier on, Dubai is pretty much 6 to 7 hours away from every single market that we have. Very easy to get to, very straightforward. So moving here, moving our headquarters here about four or five years ago, I would say is critical to the growth that the company has been on. But moving on from that and talking about partners, I'm still pinching myself that we started with 76 cars and Uber was this very, you know, massive company. We were trying to solve a problem for them. And now they sit on my board. And now I deal with the Uber as shareholders, as board members, as well as partners. And being able to kind of build that relationship with such a large multinational has been an amazing journey. It's been difficult and challenging at times. We don't always see eye to eye. But I think one thing that we have learned is that as long as we work together, as long as we look at the problem we're solving as a problem, a challenge, then we always find the right solutions, no matter how challenging those discussions can be. Building that muscle with Uber as a partner, we've now learned it's actually transferable. Because as you mentioned earlier on, now Waymo is a partner, as you know. And Waymo ultimately is part of the Alphabet Group, which is one of the largest companies in the world. So learning how to partner with multinationals, identifying the problems and challenges that they face, and then creating solutions that are real value add to said partners is really, in our view, how you can start to build strong relationships, strong partnerships, and ultimately a strong business.
One that's allowing you to handle this asset and direction is completely different. So how do you envision the arrival of autonomous businesses to change, move from what it is today?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think, generally speaking, many people acknowledge, to your point, that autonomous vehicles is by far the first and largest physical manifestation of artificial intelligence. And if one starts to think about the AI boom that we're currently in and how will that actually start to affect our lives outside of the amazing productivity tools like ChatGPT and so on and so forth, the first physical manifestation is the ability to move us from A to B. And one of the things that I think is absolutely, you know, amazing is where we are in the world today. I would argue that the last time we were here was in 1900s at Henry Ford's innovation. I think if one looks at how many vehicles were on the road in the U.S. In 1900, it was about 8,000 vehicles. 20 years later, it was 20 million vehicles.
Wow.
Now, if one starts to, very much so. If one takes that lens to autonomous vehicles, today we have obviously thousands of vehicles, but 5 years from now, we honestly believe that in most developed markets, the majority of the ride-hailing space will be moved autonomously. And not only that, I would further argue, and this is the belief that we have in Move, that every single thing that moves today in the future will move autonomously. So where we've positioned ourselves in that ecosystem is that infrastructure layer. Ultimately providing the infrastructure required to ultimately scale L4 autonomy, L4 technology. Obviously, Waymo is our first partner. Publicly, we've announced that we've partnered with them in Phoenix, in Miami. And recently, we've just announced bringing autonomous vehicles to London, which needless to say is super exciting for me. That's where I grew up. But it's just amazing. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, not only to build a business in this space, but to affect the daily lives of what's going to end up being millions of people, how they move from A to B on a day-to-day basis.
How do you envision autonomous car to actually change the life of humans in about 5 years? Obviously, under the remit of Move. But you and I have had some conversation in terms of the implication for the way humans consume this new vehicle.
Sure.
On an economic base.
Sure. My mother is a town planner, and her area of expertise, coincidentally, happens to be transportation. So growing up as a kid, needless to say, I gleaned a lot of information around how transportation works. And I think the big headline that I learned from my mother in that area, outside of being a good boy, is that the definition of a good city ultimately is the ability to move from A to B most effectively. That creates a higher degree of productivity that grows GDP. A good example is if it takes, 3 hours to get from one meeting to another, you can only generally do 2 meetings a day. The list of cities that we can speak to about how difficult it is to move from A to B and the decrease in your productivity relative to a London, a Hong Kong, a Tokyo, where you can move from A to B quickly, efficiently, will increase productivity. So ultimately, to your point about the impact of autonomous vehicles, we believe, my view of the future, is that the greatest impact autonomous vehicles will have is a direct increase in productivity. Our ability to move from A to B a lot more efficiently, our ability to also do many things in the car whilst we're being moved from A to B. If one just thinks about all the hours we save, A, not driving, but B, being able to do so many things in a vehicle because there's nobody there that you need to be confidential about or so on and so forth. So I think that productivity, as AI is generally known for, is not just going to be in tools. It's also going to be in our ability to move from A to B. And those cities that adopt autonomous vehicles early, you're going to see a real impact on their GDP as a city, at a city level and ultimately at a country level.
Well, with that impact you're having on the macro of cities now being in 29, I think it'll be good to double click on how your revenue has grown, because obviously you have started on organic growth, and over the last 2 years, you've become very hungry buying companies.
Yeah, I mean, I still pinch myself when I kind of look backwards. Going back to that same rainy day, 7 to 6 cars, we finished that financial year, 2019, with a $4.8 million in revenue. And this year, we'll end the year as about $400 million top line. Wow. So building a business over 6 years at that scale has brought its own challenges, its own complexities. But ultimately, what we see when we look at those revenue numbers are the lives that we're positively impacting and the change that we're having in the markets that we operate. And I think we've just really gotten started. I think now that we're at the forefront of the autonomous vehicle revolution, I see that number growing exponentially over the next few years as we go deeper and deeper into the AV space.
And in terms of geographic scope, I think we met you when you were just in Nigeria and Ghana.
Yep.
You had it, South Africa, Kenya.
Yep.
Then Dubai came.
Yep.
You became a resident there with your family and the team.
I did.
Now you have, 300 people there?
Just under, yep.
Then India.
Then India, then Japan, then Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, and then the U.S., and ultimately London. London was actually before that. Then England, then Latin America, and then the US.
Wow. How does...
It sounds great, but I'm extremely tired. I'm basically have to be awake across all of those time zones.
So obviously in that phenomenal growth and the visible success, it's always the top of the mountain that people see. Mm. How about some of the challenges? Because I know that you have not slept enough so many times, you and the team. I would say, what were, through those challenges, the biggest lesson you've learned and you think that you can carry on to this autonomous vehicle journey?
Yeah, I think if founders, myself included, my co-founder included, Jide, if we're honest with ourselves, which we believe in candor at Move, We're all ducks really on water, where it looks great, but when you look under the water, we're literally moving at pace to stay afloat. And I think that, the challenges that you face building a business or building a plane whilst it's flying, a myriad of challenges. There are plenty. The list is endless of how many challenges we face. But I think two things that you learn very, very quickly. Number one, Your biggest and single most important tool risk mitigation tool is the culture of the business. Mm. The ability to have individuals that can face the challenges, think through the challenges, proffer solutions quickly, effectively, and in a collaborative manner, that's the most important risk mitigation tool. Because anything you face, you can get ready to build a solution to overcome that challenge. I think the second thing is don't be scared of the challenges. Overcoming those challenges are ultimately what gets you to the next stage. I could tell you, you know, so many different stories where we thought, you know, that was an insurmountable challenge. Now, when we look back, that was one of the easiest things we had to overcome. So, you know, we have a family motto that my wife and I have at home. It's fear doesn't get you there. Faith does. So ultimately, we focus on having the faith to overcome those challenges and don't let the fear stop you from even thinking through how to overcome them.
Fabulous. What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about MOVE, and why do you think that is?
I think the biggest misconception is we're African. Mm. I think we were born in Africa. We are definitely two British-born Nigerian founders. Our DNA is definitely African, but we're today a global business. And not only are we a global business, we continue to double down on all the different global markets that we'll continue to expand to. So DNA African, but very much a global business today.
Fantastic. In terms of this old adage of, is it about being a first mover or staying ahead? What's your view on that question?
It's both.
It's both.
Yeah, I think you do have to move first in a number of different situations, but I think that moving first, you then need to maintain your first mover advantage. And I think, you know, at MOVE, that's one of the things that we've tried to do. Move first into the man space, providing the revenue-based vehicle financing that we did, but keeping an eye on autonomous vehicles and making sure that we're first mover into that space. So I think it's a DNA that you need to continue to have in a business to move first, but then consistently maintain your first mover advantage.
In terms of your perspective, if we would like you to visualize for us, MOVE in 3 to 5 years, what does it look like? Obviously, in the last 5, we've been a really happy investor, from deploying first $750,000 to now over $37 million into your business. We could not find a company more performant than you. I'll be curious to hear, for the benefit of the audience, where do you envision MOVE in 2 years at the high level?
I won't bore you with the business plan, which I know inside out, obviously. But I think, you know, ultimately, the business today will continue to build on our manned business. Our manned business will continue to double down in markets where our revenue-based vehicle financing product is required. We believe that business still has a long way to go. We can still scale that business 3, 4, 5x. But ultimately, we're also starting to pivot and invest heavily in the autonomous vehicle business, our AV business. And our vision for that business is not only to be the number one in the world at what we do, but be the largest in the world at what we do. And I think that ultimately, combined, we'll have a strong man business and we'll have a very strong world-leading autonomous business.
Amazing. I'd like you to just share as we close, what is the nicest thing someone has done for you that you can recall?
We have close to 3,000 people at MOVE, and I think the nicest thing is people believing in the vision, joining the team, helping us build out the vision on a day-to-day basis. Every single MOVE team member that wakes up every morning, that takes my calls, that answers my emails, I think the commitment, passion that our team have, that's the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. And I thank them all for continuing to support me and support the vision, likewise with our investors and likewise with our partners and stakeholders.
Well, Laddie, thank you very much for the gift of your time. And I think everybody should join me to clap for the amazing work. Thank you.